A frequent guest on Issues Etc., Dr. John Seleska, died on September 12th. In his memory, we present the following interview.
Welcome back for the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Thursday, November the 27th, Thanksgiving Day. Dr. John Seleska, as promised, joins us for the last half hour. We're going to be talking about giving thanks in the New Testament, coming off our conversation with his son, Tim Seleska, on giving thanks in the Old Testament. Dr. John Seleska is a regular guest. He's director of the Concordia Bible Institute based in Mequon, Wisconsin. Dr. Seleska, welcome back.
Oh, and very nice to be here again. Thanks for asking me.
Is there a substantial difference between the concept of Thanksgiving in the Old Testament, which seems to be all over the place there, and the concept of Thanksgiving in the New Testament?
Substantially, there really is no difference. I like to take that passage from St. Augustine, which goes, "The new is in the old concealed, the old is in the new revealed," so that all the promises of God which were made in the Old Testament, for which we are exceedingly and eternally grateful and thankful, are found in Christ. That is, all the promises of God are yes and amen, the 2 Corinthians 1:20 passage, in Christ. And so he really is the one unspeakable gift for which we cannot ever give enough thanks and praise for what he is and what he has done for us in our Lord.
Where would you begin in the New Testament to explore the concept of giving thanks?
Well, I usually take a passage I mentioned before, the 1 Corinthians 9, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift," because that's the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ and what that means. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, I think it's verse 15, talking about Christ, "By him, therefore, let us offer unto God the thanksgiving and praise of our lips," so that he is the one by whom we come to God, and obviously for whom we thank God and are thankful for everything else. I sometimes go from there to the Romans 8 passage, "If God spared not his own son." Now, I'd like our audience to consider the implications of that for a moment. If God spared not his own son, I'm sure that none of us would do what he did under those circumstances. For people like us, selfish, thankless, ungrateful people, that he would not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all. And then that last part of that passage, "Shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" In other words, everything that we have finally comes down from heaven, from above, the Father of lights. All good and all perfect gifts arrive for us from him. And it's evident that we really ought to be very thankful people, not just one day of the year, which has been set aside, but every day. As a matter of fact, when the hymn writer says, "Come ye thankful people, come," he really means that the people themselves are thankful people. It's their nature. I guess you could say that it defines Christian people. It's who we are, and obviously what we are like in our lives, first of all in response to God for what he has done, and then in response to our neighbor, because that really takes us back to how he intended us to be initially, thankful and praising him in everything, and of course glorifying him with lives of thankfulness and praise as we reach out to our neighbor.
So this idea that has to come before Thanksgiving, and we heard so much of this with your son a few minutes ago, of God acting first, bestowing the blessings, giving the gifts, and you had quoted that passage, the God who from whom all gifts come forth. This really has to be the basis for Thanksgiving, that God is the gift giver.
Yeah, always God takes the initiative. If you'll recall back in the garden, when Adam and Eve, who were created, of course, in his image, and were thankful people, and I like to say about them that before the fall, they knew God loved them, and they went about their daily tasks with joy in their hearts and thanks on their lips with lives that praised him. It's how he intended them to be, having created them in his image. And it's God who, after they fell, and they became his enemies, really, he went after them. Otherwise, they were lost forever. So God always takes the initiative, and God is the one, obviously, who took the initiative in making that promise. And I do think that when I mentioned that passage in Hebrews, that that's a reference to all those Old Testament sacrifices that were made by him. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the thanks of our lips. That's what the people in the Old Testament depicted in all of the sacrifices. They were always upward towards God. An offering which finally, of course, would be culminated in the one offering and sacrifice to end all the others. And so this is how God intended for his people to be, and it's a creation of God's to have made for us Christians gratefulness and thankfulness in our hearts, or to have created grateful, thankful hearts. That's not something that we can do on our own. It's obviously that God takes the initiative and, first of all, takes the first steps.
Is that part and parcel of our fallen nature, ungratefulness, unthankfulness, thanklessness?
Sad to say, that is exactly what it's like. And I'm reminded, of course, of the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18. Sometimes he's called the ungrateful servant. And just consider this, that here he has been forgiven, well, it says 10,000 talents. Let's just say that this is an unpayable debt. If we were to suggest $50 million today for any of us, I'm convinced that work as hard as we would, we could never pay that off. Now the entire debt is forgiven. Doesn't it seem reasonable that this, quote, unmerciful servant would be transformed in his life by having had such a remarkable debt completely forgiven? He's absolved, free from all the worry and all the concern about that debt. How in all the world could he go out and take his fellow servant by the neck and say to him, pay what you owe? Seems unreasonable, does it not? And yet, that's precisely what he was like, and what all of us are like by nature, so that God obviously has to do something dramatic. And it is really God who transforms our hearts and changes our minds so that we can begin to be thankful people as he intended us to be initially. There are plenty of other examples in the scriptures, by the way. Those 10 lepers, you'll recall, who, if you remember what it was like in those days or have had that recounted to you, how lepers were to stand afar off from everyone and yell, unclean, and obviously no one could come near them. They were separated and alienated from family, no hugs from wife and from children, no interaction with the people that you loved. And now, all of a sudden, as they went, they were cleansed. Wouldn't you think that all of them would, with grateful hearts, have returned to thank the one who had healed them? Only one, and that's obviously the one who is the example, who went back and worshipped him and thanked him. Well, it's obviously the way he intended for us to be also. Well, the same would be true in the Old Testament, if you remember the manna in the wilderness. Here these people had been showered with bread from heaven, physical things now, had been showered with bread from heaven every day, more than really anyone could possibly have expected, and yet they begin to complain and grumble and murmur about it. Give us meat and other food. We don't like this. Well, to be very frank with you, we're no different from those people by nature. It's a sad state of affairs, and obviously you can see that in the people today who have resented the idea that we should call this Thanksgiving Day, because now they just simply want to refer to it as Turkey Day, not giving a nod to God even for what he has given and for the multitude of gifts which he has showered on us.
When we come back from this break, we're going to continue for about another 10 minutes with Dr. John Seleska, director of the Concordia Bible Institute based in Mequon, Wisconsin. We're talking about Thanksgiving in the New Testament on this Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November the 27th. We'll be talking about this great little passage. I found it here in Luke chapter 6, where Jesus talks to his disciples, telling them to love your enemies. When you lend, expect nothing in return. Do good to those who harm you, and expect nothing in return. And then he says, your reward will be great. You will be like sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful, to the thankless, and to the evil.
Be merciful even as your Father in heaven is merciful. That's part of Thanksgiving too. Love for our neighbor. Dr. Seleska's taken us there. We'll continue in that vein on the other side of this break. By the way, something to be thankful for as we get near the end of this year on this Thanksgiving Day, with just the waning months of this year ahead of us, Issues, Etc. Not only for the return of the Gospel Voice of Issues, Etc., but for its healthy continuation. Now, if you're thankful for this privilege to listen to Issues, Etc., I'm very thankful for the privilege of sitting behind this microphone day by day. If you're thankful for the gospel outreach that is Issues, Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio, its defense of the of life from beginning to end, all of those things that are Issues, Etc., consider making a year-end gift to Issues, Etc. You can donate online, our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can make checks payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send them to Lutheran Public Radio, that's LPR, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's LPR, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Monday on the program, we'll be talking about Noah with Dr. Nathan Jastrom, and Dr. Paul Grimm will discuss the season of Advent. I'm sorry, that's tomorrow on the program. When we come back, how can we, thankful to God, be like God, who is kind even to the ungrateful and the evil? I can't pull that off. There must be something more to Christ's command when he says, love your enemies. We're talking about thankfulness in the New Testament with Dr. John Seleska.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues, Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues, Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues, Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues, Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We call devotional time in the Schwarz household Jesus time. We use a hymnal, a Bible, the catechism, and a book of prayers. I've always wanted a devotional book with all of these resources. Well, it's coming this fall. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. Find out about it on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A family-friendly devotional resource, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Will your church be one of the Issues, Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're discussing Thanksgiving in the New Testament. Dr. John Seleska, director of the Concordia Bible Institute based in Mequon, Wisconsin, is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. For about another 10 minutes on this Thursday, November the 27th, Thanksgiving Day. It's an interesting passage, and it is, depressing if I think about my failure to fulfill these words of Christ, Dr. Seleska, when he's talking about loving your enemies, do good those to harm you. If you lend, expect nothing in return. And then he says, for he, that is the Most High, is kind to the ungrateful
and the evil. It's amazing to think that regardless of our ungratefulness, God continues in his mercy to be kind.
Again, characteristic of God, is it not? It's the way he is. And to the ungrateful and to the evil, and one sense, of course, he's talking about all of us, the entire universe of people, because it's how we are by nature. And I think I mentioned before in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve fell, they became God's enemies. At least that's what they thought. And so he had really to go after them to demonstrate to them, which he would do when he pronounced that promise that he himself would come and right what they had done wrong and deal with all the effects of that fall, which would be a whole universe corrupted and defiled by it and misshapen and disfigured. All of this he would himself have to take on and deal with when we were enemies. This is I guess the essence of Christianity, is it not? It separates it from all other religions. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, not by anything we do, which is how we would like to think and how we would like to believe, that somehow it's because we are fine people that God smiles on us and distributes his gifts to us, because we somehow have enticed him to do so by our works. Not at all. By nature, we're opposed to him and really hate him. And now that he should come and deliver up his only son for the likes of us really staggers the imagination, to do justice to it, doesn't it? When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And when he says then to us, let your love be without dissimulation, you know that passage in Romans, without picking and choosing, it's the way he is. And by nature, we're unable to do that because we seek vengeance all the time by nature on those people who have done us wrong. Not so God. And then we hear him from the cross, Father, forgive them. These are his enemies. These people have spit on him and mocked him and pinned him to a tree, put on him a crown of thorns, crucifying him. And what does he do? He prays for them that did the wrong. That's a different spirit from mine and by nature. And so I would really have to be transformed. I'd have to be born again, a new person with a new disposition and a new attitude in order to begin to be like that. Well, that's precisely what God has done. And as I say, that's precisely what separates Christianity from all other religions. All of them try to please God, if they believe him at all, by what they do. But in our religion, in this religion, the truth is that God, in fact, has created a new kind of people who begin to love him and serve others because they are of his spirit.
Then it seems that we must always remember that our thankfulness in that respect, now wholly apart from how thankful we feel, our thankfulness to God, the living sacrifice that you spoke of before the break, is never commensurate with the gifts that God has given. We can never thank him.
Never, ever. If we were to take all eternity, which we will have eventually as Christian people, to do so, which is in a sense, I guess, when we think of heaven, precisely what it will be like, because these are the people who have been invited. Come ye thankful people, come. They have in fact been induced to be thankful by God himself. It is the he has instilled his spirit so that we can begin to be as he intended us to be. It really is a joy, and all those passages, I'm sure that Tim said some of these things to you from the Psalms, the praise and thanksgiving in the Psalms derived from God himself. And these are in fact God's people who are praising and thanking him for what he in fact has done. So all of that is in response to his work, first of all, in us.
There is a term used very early by Christians with reference to the Lord's Supper. We talked a bit about it previously with Tim, but I'd like to get into it a little bit more with you. It's a New Testament thing. It is, in fact, the New Testament, the New Covenant. Beginning with Christ's words, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks. And so Christians have called this the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving.
The Thanksgiving, right. It's interesting that he himself, who owns it all, owns everything, and he does that throughout his life, as a matter of fact. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. And the same is true with the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, take, drink. It's remarkable, is it not, that here is the very Son of God, God himself, who demonstrates for us and is, by his very nature, thankful. How, in fact, when we were created in his image, and I've mentioned this before, but let me do so again from Colossians, where it says about Christ that he is the image of the invisible God. Being created in his image meant that Adam and Eve were created in Christ and had his mind and disposition and his spirit initially. That's what was lost. And obviously only God can restore it, which he has done in us. And to me, that's a remarkable miracle. As a matter of fact, it's the miracle of miracles for each of us that God would do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, so that, again, being recreated, we can be as he intended us to be. It's remarkable.
There's a chapter in 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, where Paul urges those who read this letter, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. That's hard to do, Dr. Celeste.
Very hard, because there are some circumstances that simply don't lend themselves to thank you, and yet he does say that. I think there's a passage also in Ephesians which says essentially the same thing, give thanks always for all things. Now, goodness sakes, to do that would require a spirit that none of us has by nature. But it's evident, again, that that is the spirit of our Lord himself, who gave thanks throughout his lifetime. You'll recall that when he fed the 5,000 in John chapter 6, that first of all, he gave thanks. And then he distributed the fish and the loaves of bread, and everyone was served by that. And it's interesting that he himself gave thanks there, and always giving thanks for all things under all circumstances. And not to worry also, because you remember in Matthew chapter 6 where he says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Now, obviously, in this country, we don't have to do too much of that. There aren't too many people who worry too much about it. But in foreign countries, in some of the primitive countries that we've heard about, we know that that has to happen and does happen where the people do worry about it. But he really doesn't want us to do that. I have been young and now I'm old, the psalmist says, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. That's kind of a promise to us. So don't take any thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. If he feeds the sparrows and if he takes care of the lilies, won't he take care of you? So what his sermon there is all about is trust. Trust in your Heavenly Father. He's taken care of everything, given you life and health, righteousness, peace, and all the other things will be added to you. It's a remarkable way to live. And obviously, it generates that spirit of thanks.
Dr. John Celeska is director of the Concordia Bible Institute based in Mequon, Wisconsin. You'll find a link to the Concordia Bible Institute under the on-demand page at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Dr. Celeska, thanks for being with us on this Thanksgiving Day.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you for asking me.
There is so much to be thankful for, but even if you can't on your hands and fingers and toes fill up the list of things for which you are thankful, there is still much to give thanks to God for. Much is an understatement. It's everything, isn't it? In the end, can we claim to have anything apart from him? Can we claim to have or have done anything apart from him? No. There is nothing we have. There is nothing we are. There is nothing that we will be or will have that does not come from him. He is indeed the giver of all good gifts. And all his gifts are good. That's the hard thing to remember on a Thanksgiving day. All his gifts are good. But we don't know that they're good by looking straight at them. We can never look straight at the gifts of God and see in the gifts themselves how good they are. And good for us. That's why he gives them to us, out of his love for us in Jesus Christ. We can never look straight at the gifts themselves and see that they are good for us. We must always see them reflected from the cross. The cross, like a a beautiful mirror that reflects all the things that God has given us. But these gifts are only seen for the good that they are. It may even be sickness. It may even be a loss of money. It may be enough money in the bank. It may be a family that is all together. It may be a family that isn't all together. But reflected in the mirror of the cross, Christ suffering for us. That doesn't look good either, does it? But it was the greatest gift God ever gave. Reflected in the mirror of Jesus and his cross, all these gifts on this Thanksgiving Day are good. They come from our good God who loves us and gave them all to us only for the sake of his son, Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. Happy Thanksgiving Day. Talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.